There's a category of stories on Hacker News that I think of as depth charges. They don't grab you immediately, but they keep going off as you think about them. Today's feed has several.
The Async Rust versus RTOS showdown is one of them. This is a 2022 post that's resurfaced with fresh votes, which happens when a piece of technical writing turns out to be durable enough to remain relevant 4 years later. The question it addresses is fundamental to embedded systems development. When you're writing firmware for a microcontroller that needs to handle multiple concurrent tasks, sensor reads, communication, actuator control, should you use an RTOS like FreeRTOS with traditional task scheduling or Async Rust with cooperative multitasking?
The analysis is thorough and the conclusion is nuanced, which is why it keeps circulating. For workloads with hard real-time constraints and predictable task timing, RTOS approaches still have advantages because preemptive scheduling with priority levels gives you more direct control over worst-case latency. Async Rust is compelling for workloads that are I or O bound, waiting on UART spy network, because cooperative multitasking can be extremely efficient when tasks spend most of their time yielding at await points.
The deeper issue the post surfaces is ecosystem maturity. In 2022, Async Rust on embedded targets was promising, but rough at the edges. The ecosystem was fragmented. HAL support was uneven. And debugging async code on a microcontroller without an operating system was genuinely painful. 4 years later, the Embassy framework has significantly improved the state of play, which is part of why this post is back in circulation. People are reading it as a historical baseline against which to measure current progress.
The dark matter detection story from the LUX Zeppelin detector is the kind of physics result that's easy to misunderstand in either direction. The headline is "Spots a Single Weird Particle," which sounds dramatic. The reality is more interesting and more uncertain. The detector, which is a 7-ton liquid xenon tank buried deep in a South Dakota mine, observed a single event with energy signatures that don't match any known standard model particle interaction or any background source the collaboration can identify.
I want to be careful about how we frame this. One anomalous event in a physics detector is not a discovery. It's a candidate event, something worth investigating, worth understanding, worth running more data to see whether it recurs at a rate inconsistent with background noise. The history of particle physics is full of single anomalous events that turned out to be detector artifacts, cosmic ray interactions, or just statistical flukes. What makes this interesting is the context. LUX Zeppelin is the most sensitive dark matter detector ever built, and this event passed all the background rejection cuts that would normally flag mundane explanations.
The HN comments on this are a nice example of the community doing what it does best. There are practicing physicists in the thread who are providing technical context about the significance of the background rejection cuts, the sensitivity thresholds, and what would need to be true for this to be a genuine signal. The community there is appropriately calibrated, interested without being credulous.
The aging memory paper is similarly nuanced. The finding that aging brains tend to blend or merge similar memories rather than simply losing them comes from neuroimaging work showing that older adults have less differentiation between neural representations of similar but distinct experiences. You don't forget your vacation in Italy and your vacation in France. You tend to merge them into a composite that feels like both without being specifically either.
The practical implication is interesting. Some memory errors in older adults that look like forgetting might be better understood as overgeneralization. The brain isn't losing data, it's failing to maintain separation between similar data records. That suggests different intervention strategies than those aimed at pure memory retention. You'd want to emphasize distinctive encoding at the time of experience rather than just rehearsal.
The citizen science story from Ireland is one of my favorites in today's feed. Three schoolgirls in Kinsale, back in 2016, pulled up a pea plant with unusual nodules on its roots. Rather than discarding it, they spent 3 years testing 13,000 seeds in a spare bedroom. The bacteria living in those nodules turned out to produce compounds that significantly improve barley growth, a finding that has genuine agricultural implications for nitrogen fixation and soil health.
What I love about this story and what the HN community clearly loves about it is that it's a corrective to the narrative that meaningful scientific discovery requires massive institutional infrastructure. These were school-age kids with no university affiliation working in a home setting who noticed something anomalous and decided to investigate it rigorously over a multi-year period. The discovery itself is legitimate science.
The Holden's Lightning Flight article resurfacing is also worth a moment. This is the 1934 incident where a RAF pilot named Arthur Holden became one of the first people to survive a direct lightning strike on an aircraft in flight, and then systematically documented what he experienced, helping researchers understand the electromagnetic and physical effects of lightning strikes on aircraft structures. It's an early example of treating a terrifying accident as a source of empirical data.
There's something thematically connected between Holden's approach and those three girls in Kinsale. Both are instances of curiosity and rigor applied to unexpected phenomena by people who didn't have to care but decided to anyway. That disposition is not limited by credentials.
The Qantas Flight 32 post is a related kind of story. A 2023 retrospective on the 2010 engine failure, where an uncontained Rolls-Royce Trent 900 failure on an Airbus A380 over Indonesia caused catastrophic damage, but no fatalities. The piece is called A Matter of Millimeters, and it's about how a tiny manufacturing defect in an oil pipe fitting set off a chain of events that destroyed one engine, severely damaged two others, and took a crew of five experienced pilots 40 minutes of coordinated emergency procedures to resolve safely.
What that story illustrates is the razor-thin margins between catastrophe and survival in complex engineered systems, and the degree to which good outcomes in those situations depend on training, redundancy, and teams that can function under extreme pressure without falling back on standard checklists that no longer apply.